the question was asked, when Eli rebukes his sons, why doesn't he fire them? Why isn't his rebuke effective? So let's analyze what Eli says to them, what the Navi describes, and let's see a little bit deeper what's being said here. So the verse says that Eli's children would sleep with the women who would gather, who would flock to the temple, to Mishkan Shiloh. Our sages say that the words shouldn't be read the way we would read them. It doesn't mean they were intimate with them. It means that they were slightly lazy, less than swift in their service of the temple, and as such, there was a line. Their coming to the temple became difficult because things weren't done quickly. And then the women who anticipated finishing with their sacrifice and getting home that night would have to spend the night by the temple to wait and have their sacrifice brought. And so the Navi words it in a way that could be misunderstood. The Navi purposely words it as they slept with the women. The point isn't that they were intimate with them. The point is that they caused them to sleep over that night. The women couldn't go home. And so the husbands weren't comfortable with that. The women weren't comfortable with that. And Eli's sons were oblivious to that because Eli's sons had an element of ego that got in the way. They wanted, and as we see, the Navi describes that they would go and grab their meat and they would take the best portion and they'd have servants who would bring them their meats. And they would say, if you don't give me what I want, I'll take it by force. And they treated the temple as though it was theirs. Now, when dealing with a person who has the weakness of arrogance, that's probably the hardest weakness to deal with. Because anything you say is going to be undermined by his weakness. Meaning his arrogance stands in the way of any rebuke. He can't hear anything you're saying. So that's one of the greatest challenges. The Magen Midovna writes about this, that when you try to help someone who's arrogant fix their traits, you're dealing with a weakness that undermines your help. Now, sometimes we say that it's the responsibility of the educator to find a way to get his message across. If we compare King Saul and King David, what we see with David HaMelech is that the prophet Nathan penetrates David's heart. He comes and tells him a story. He could have come to David and told him, look at what you did wrong with Bathsheba, what a terrible thing you did. And then David would have been defensive. Instead, he got David's emotions riled up against this villain who steals a sheep. He tells him a whole story. And then when he's finished with the story and David has already ruled that he's going to punish the villain who does it, so then he tells him, Ata ha'ish, I'm talking about you, David. Boom. But he set him up. And Chazal said one of the greatest acts of kindness was this, that Nathan set David up. By setting him up, he allowed David to see his faults. And he ensured that David would not destroy himself. David was punished, but David was able to repent. Because Nathan had come in this sort of devious way, but he used the deviance for a positive, for the purpose of helping David rectify his mistakes, well, that's why David was saved. Because David's success was the fact that he said, I'm wrong, I made a mistake. I want to repent. Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm sorry. Whereas Saul argues with the prophet, and the commentaries point out that had Shmuel come to Shaul differently, then maybe things would have played themselves out differently. Shaul goes straight. Shmuel tells Shaul straight, what are you telling me you did God's will? Why do I hear there are sheep around? God told you to destroy everything, all of Amalek's possessions. Why do I hear sheep? Very straight. Shaul answers him, Asher hakimoti dvar Hashem. Sure, I fulfilled what God wanted. And he's arguing with him until finally Shmuel can convince him, no, you did not. I told you very explicit instructions and you did not listen. Why were you scared of the nation? And finally, after much arguments, Shaul says, Chatati, but why didn't David do that? So we like to say that that was David's strength, his ability to recognize where he was wrong. But the commentaries point out that there's a tremendous credit here to Nathan the prophet, who set up the story so that David would recognize he was wrong. Well, when we look at Eli, Eli is going to be punished for what his children did wrong. What did Eli do wrong? His children did wrong. And the understanding among the commentaries is that Eli should have found a way to rebuke them more harshly. Perhaps Eli should have fired them. Perhaps Eli should have told them, you're on leave until you behave differently. What exactly Eli should have done? Should he have given them allegories? Should he have given them stronger speeches? Should he have punished them more harshly? He should not have allowed the situation to remain after he rebukes them. He rebuked them, but he didn't go far enough. And perhaps the point is, as you suggested, he should have fired them. But what's clear is that Eli is punished in that he rebukes them, but his rebuke wasn't harsh enough. And in that, Eli erred. That's what our sages tell us.